Hello, everybody. Welcome to Hot Feed. My name is Raheem Cox. I'm a professional writer slash podcaster. You can find my books and podcasts via my website, www.rootforcepublications.com. As part of this bi-weekly episode of Hot Feed, I will be discussing topics such as surrendering rights, improving school curriculum, police training, Buffalo mass killer, the Buffalo mass killer, and more. Not to keep you waiting, let's jump straight into it. The cornering of American judicial courts upon the American system of seizing one's freedom through a guilty plea or self-incrimination is very common here in this country. Almost too common. Too often, those convicted of crimes have to surrender their rights to the Department of Corrections through a guilty plea in which for black and brown communities, they weren't innocent. The Constitution and ethics require reasonable equity for those jailed, said that their rights are voluntary and truly free. Just look at New York. 75% of the 30,000 people, black and brown, behind bars are victim to this racial disproportionality. Our criminal legal system places such stresses on the innocent defendant that it becomes a perfectly rational choice to plead guilty despite innocence. This imbalance is a struggle minority communities have been affected by for generations. Dating back to the formation of a century-old struggle, just released from slavery, now victim to a crudelity for the favor of global capitalists. That's it for this segment. Next up is improving school curriculum. Let's get to it. Over the past decades and up until now, the issue of students and why they fall behind has been a concern area. The dismal drop in grading is apparent all over our current nation's public school system. The blame can sometimes be events we just faced, coronavirus, or events like the recent legalization of marijuana. Though our educational departments time after time fail to reason with a proper curriculum for both educators, parents, and students. Education is a touchy topic. I have been focused on our educational departments for the last 13 years. Why they fail is a widespread issue of politics. What lurks behind the curriculum granted for students is a polling issue by a select grouping. Much more respectable, allocated by community members, or a survey of desires and wants from parents in need. Sadly, students are under deception at all levels. Their test scores, in large retrospect, is the outcome, a lot of times, out of reach of their will to learn and achieve. If America plans on furthering on future-wise, the needs of parents and students in nearby American communities have to be attended to properly. The majority of city educators say their curriculum is low quality, lacks cultural relevance, and is not connected to their training. Just about every school and cities are bombarded by sales pitches that they don't have the capacity to sort through. This isn't a new problem. That's it for this segment. Next up is police training. Let's get to it. The recent death of Tyre Nichols demonstrates and broadcasts the need to put power in the right hands. Officers of the law are largely not equipped mentally and physically to handle their role. Academy training can demonstrate how to be relaxed once equipped with a firearm. I don't think anyone should be in a position to conceal a firearm without credibility. The death of Tyre Nichols is a real thing, and his lawyers has just questioned by news briefing what can be done to improve officer training. Some say there is no direct way to do this, being unjust officers will always be present around the nation's departments. It is just common nature for many officers or citizens to take power out of control. Academy training every day in America proves their courses aren't always effective. The culture begins at the police academy. Police in general have one of the most difficult jobs in democracy, forcing countless pressures on them from communities, the media, unions, supervisors, training, the law, other officers, and much more. Speculation behind Tyree's death suggests officers need to be trained at universities, like nurses and teachers, something that will probably never be administered by government proceedings, though it can assist. My opinion is training at rightful behalf can be administered in small steps on lower levels. It's just generational gaps in willingness by government leaders to issue a more likable means of starting employee training. Many time gets thrown away due to the need to follow protocol. That's it for this segment. Next up is Rikers Island scan letters. Let's get to it. DOC personnel may begin tightening up on information distributed to the to Rikers Island inmates. There are no exact ordering or confirmed days set to enact these new guidelines, but talk is being circulated to monitor the island known for chaos. For the majority of Rikers facilitation and for jails throughout the country, also, normal base lettering was issued for communication between loved ones. I would assume new willed policies to fixate lettering are also prevalent around the country. Rikers is probably the most highlighted jail nationwide. Violence there in current time is 10 times more apparent than in LA County. There has just been a new suggested policy that will place scanned copies of letters in place of normal. Talk of how to facilitate Rikers is an occurrence that is serious, but inmates and staff more often don't have too much concern on this facilitation. It's a place where you're on point and guarding your life for the most part. Once in, even for elected officials of New York City, they leave the politics of the island in the hands of those within. My honest opinion, a scan letter is not needed. Inmates should never, under any circumstance, be withheld from loved ones' condolence. I haven't covered DOC or crime too heavily in New York City, but when given regard to facilitation guidelines in the media, it's for a reason. That's it for this segment. Next up is the Buffalo Mass Killer. Let's get to it. The mass killer of the Buffalo shooting spree, dating back to May 2022, was just sentenced to 11 life sentences. The act he took the pawn led to the death of 10 people inside a Buffalo, New York supermarket. His name, Peyton Gendron, who was 19 years of age, took the role of the shooting in the effort to support white supremacy. Apparently, Peyton walked into a supermarket in Buffalo in May 2022, strapped with armor-resistant armor and a helmet equipped with live streaming camera, carrying out the attack. alongside his firearm, which fatally struck 10 people. He even posted his racist writings online in a 180-page manifesto, describing himself as a fascist, a white supremacist, and an anti-Semite. His cause after interrogation was that the neighborhood he lived in had the highest percentage of blacks, which was close enough to where he had to live. He also wrote he hoped his act would sustain white power. You never know what to expect nowadays. These acts are being taken out nationwide many times a year. Most of those who took part in sensible acts similar to the one in Buffalo lack self-understanding and were immature in thinking. This immaturity, in many cases, is victim to a dysfunctional household or neglecting upbringing. That's it for this segment. Next up is the debate over honor of Elijah Muhammad. Let's get to it. City Council on Thursday in New York City, February 16th, approved of a plan to name a block in honor of Elijah Muhammad, the controversial leader of the Nation of Islam. I believe this is a good for this. I believe this is good for the Islamic community, and it contribute to the wisdom Elijah Muhammad and his followers worked so hard for. I believe in current America, with so much racial injustice facing the black community and blacks that contributed so heavily to the makeup of America, there needs to be more honor devoted to their productivity. I'm sure the Nation of Islam are proud of this accomplishment, and the streets of Harlem are welcome to Elijah. Opposition toward his honor has been held, though, stating by Councilman David Carr, a Staten Island Republican, he does not deserve this honor, and that he is not worthy of having a street codenaming in the city of New York. Carr stated Elijah fails the test based on the values and views of today. In the world of politics, you can't please everybody. While Elijah was living, he claimed white people were devils and was very anti-Semitic. Carr's enunciation was probably due to these viewpoints. As long as you share any viewpoint, for the most part, you can't please everyone's thinking. That's it for this segment. Next up is being a Chinese American. Let's get to it. The two superpowers, China and America, are always competing for world dominance. These descendants of China living in America are a group of people who get large scrutiny. Are you fully American? Whose side are you on? Recent mention in the news posted a spy balloon over America that was said to have been under American monitor from China. Chinese descendants from America make up more than 5 million Americans. They are largely grouped together in towns throughout America, like that of Chinatown in New York City. China and America are currently in a phase of conflict and competition. I really come across Chinese Americans, though there are many towns and places like New York City that they reside in. The Chinese struggle is deep. The introduction to America goes back to about the arrival of Christopher Columbus' famous boat, the Mayflower. They were, but not heard of, present on the Mayflower, and enslaved around the early days of America for being not white enough. Their descendants even built the Transcontinental Railroad, laboring hard, which united the nation after the Civil War, who also founded Chinatowns more than a century ago. Some arrived out of on the shores not from mainland China, but from Cuba or Peru or Japan or Germany. Stemming from their grandparents who left for those destinations before their parents migrated again. That's it for this segment. Next up is COVID work from home revolution. Let's get to it. The devastation COVID-19 has caused to the economy is enormous. An area in which in the economy may be for the good is work from home. Millions of employees across thousands of employers are requiring flexible arrangements. For public officials, it's either demand a return to the way they were before or try to equip their communities for a new era. As I read, as of 2023, 17% of Americans work from home. Me, myself, I also work from home. It gives me the ability to produce quality work and express myself in ways I couldn't when employed in the field. It also allows me to make decisions for the work environment by myself. It definitely suits me. I believe Americans should support work from home. And public officials should welcome COVID changes. It's proven that employees who don't have to commute can focus in relative quiet, start a laundry load at lunchtime, and pick up their kids from school, are often happier and more productive in other ways. COVID has changed the economy in just about every corner. Yes, it takes away billions from normal employed settings, but the saying goes, do what makes you happy. I believe Americans as a whole was headed into a work-from-home revolution any other way. It's iconic how the causes that define American life, war, pandemics, and crises, in turn, remake the country later on. Sometimes for the good, sometimes for the bad. The COVID work-from-home revolution, I believe most Americans will undoubtedly support. That's it for this segment. Next up is suicide among girls. Let's get to it. Things are getting bad dealing with girls around the country, high school girls in particular, in relation to their mental health status. A youth risk behavior found that about 1 in 3 high school age girls had seriously considered suicide, and detailed uptick in sexual violence and overall mental struggles. Schools have always been first to monitor or care to at-risk teens who face mental health problems. In current society in America, teachers around the country are leaving their jobs by the masses after feeling unsupported and under siege. The article I learned, the facts from this briefing, doesn't precisely illustrate just what is causing these mental health problems. But I believe after prior research, the cause would be mainly the outcome of Corona. Just the devastation alone Corona has caused, and the million or so loved ones lost, these mental health statuses among girls is normal. How could it not be? A lot of them feel their country has betrayed them, and that the purpose in life just is absent from their lives. As a male, I experienced mental health problems for the first time around the age of 16 in high school. And that was just due to a overbearing lifestyle, shy from a community crisis, or a large plague that affected every American in this nation. If I were to place myself in high school now, atop post-corona effects, I would probably also suffer more severe mental trauma. That's it for this segment. Next up is Bored at Work. Let's get to it. Unfortunately, not all are employed at jobs that motivate or keep you energetic. Many spots of employment are lacking in personal or employee will to carry out a task, and that's fairly normal. It's not possible for an owner or a contractor to build the idea of a work setting and expect for those employed at that setting to share the same drive or positive output thwarted from the creator of that setting. Many employers seek to employment to earn a check, pay the bills, and feed the family. It's not only boredom at work that is unfortunate. Life in general was meant at times to be boring, though many find themselves always expecting exuberance. So what stems from boredom at work and the difficulty it plays? According to an article I read, boredom at work derives from about five components. You're no longer challenged. You're ready for a new field. You shifted into a mindless repetition. You're disconnected from your purpose. You've plugged into workplace negativity. These components are more nature's inquiry than anything. It's natural for all of these components to be evident at just about any position, even if you found your job, for most part, exciting. Employment in general is a place where not only money is made, but inoculations of all sorts are reported. That's the final segment of Hot Feed. I hope you gain much on public awareness. Tune in 2 weeks for the next episode. Feel free to stop by my website if you feel Hot Feed was beneficial and donate to the future cause of my books and podcast collections. Once again, my website is www.RootForcePublications.com. Thank you.